America's 250th birthday. It's a great excuse to have some extra cake and ice cream, but we can help your celebration go well beyond that. Show your patriotism with America 250 apparel that will become a memento of this special year. We also have special episodes on AFA Stream to help underscore that America is a Christian nation and help you find God in the Constitution. Find all of this and more in one place. afa.net/topics/250.
Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good Tuesday morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. Hope you're having a great morning. As you know, June has been taken over the last several years, taken over by the LGBTQIA plus group. They proclaim June as Pride Month. And there are six things which the Lord hates, yes, seven which are abomination to Him. Number one on the list is haughty eyes, a proud look. God hates pride. He's opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. But they call it Pride Month, and they're proud of the fact that they're gay, or they're trans, or they're something else. We are called as Christians to speak the truth in love. I say this over and over on the radio. I say it over and over to my church family. Our purpose for being on this earth is to be His witnesses. Paul said he had the desire to depart and be with Christ, Philippians chapter 1, for that is very much better, but to remain on was better for the Christians, better for the Philippians, as he was talking to them. It's better for your sake that I stay here, because God is using my life. But for me personally, it'd be better to go. I had a guy ask me that one time. I was witnessing to him as a Jewish guy. This was when I was in college, and his name was Aaron, and we were lifting weights together, and I was talking to him about Jesus, and he said, well, if heaven's so great, why didn't God just take you there now? I said, because He's left me here to talk to you. And that's our purpose for being, to be salt and light. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world, Jesus said to His followers in Matthew chapter 5. We are to make a difference. And you know, in Acts chapter 1, they said, Lord, is it at this time that you are restoring the kingdom to Israel? He said, it's not for you to know times or epochs which the Father has fixed by His own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. And where were they going to start? In Jerusalem, and then go out to Judea, and then go out to Samaria. Those are the half-Jews, half-Gentiles, to the Samaritans. Jews have no dealings with Samaritans, it says in John chapter 4. They didn't like each other, but then the gospel spreads to the Samaritans. That happens in Acts chapter 8, and then to the remotest parts of the earth, and the gospel goes to the Gentile world in Acts chapter 10 with Cornelius. And the Lord tells Peter, Peter, arise and eat. He shows him that sheet of all those unclean animals. And Peter said, no, I'm not going to eat that. I've never had any of that stuff. It's not kosher. It's unclean. He said, what God has cleansed, no longer consider unholy. And so that caused Peter to go to the home of Cornelius, share the gospel, and the Gentiles received the gift of the Holy Spirit. So the gospel went from Jews to Samaritans to Gentiles. And I can tell you this, you read Acts chapter 10, what you find out is that you don't have to be baptized to be saved, because Cornelius and his family received the Holy Spirit before they were baptized. So that's proof positive that baptism is the wedding ring of the Christian. Oh, I forgot my wedding ring. Good night. It's the wedding ring of the Christian life. It doesn't make you saved. It shows to the world that you're saved, and that the gospel goes to the remotest parts of the earth, that it's not just for Jews, it's also for Gentiles. And aren't you glad about that? Because predominantly those listening to the program are Gentiles, and we have been adopted into the family. And That's a great praise. So we're here to be a witness. And June, although the people that have given themselves over to sexual immorality and perversion, they try and hijack this month. It's a month for us to stand up and say, no, that's not right. And we speak the truth in love. Now, here is what love says. 2 Peter chapter 2. Peter says this, but false prophets also arose among the people, just as there will also be false teachers among you, who will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them, bringing swift destruction upon themselves. And many will follow their sensuality, and because of them the way of the truth will be maligned. And in their greed they will exploit you with false words. Their judgment from long ago is not idle, and their destruction is not asleep. For if God did not spare angels when they sinned, but cast them into hell and committed them to pits of darkness reserved for judgment, and did not spare the ancient world, but preserved Noah, a preacher of righteousness, with seven others, his family, when he brought a flood upon the world of the ungodly. Watch it. Verse 6. And if he condemned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah to destruction by reducing them to ashes, the Lord rained fire and brimstone upon those cities, having made them an example to those who would live ungodly thereafter. I remember a sermon years and years and years ago I heard from Dr. Adrian Rogers. He said, you want to know what God thinks about homosexuality? Go to the smoking ruins of Sodom and see for yourself. He did that as an example to those who would live ungodly thereafter. And because we love people and we don't want to see people perish, we don't want to see people judged. God doesn't want to see people judged. He says in Ezekiel 18:32, I take no pleasure in the death of anyone who dies, therefore repent and live. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, God is not willing, he's not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. Repentance is change your mind. People in this LGBTQIA plus world, they are believing a lie. And we have the truth. Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The truth shall set you free. You cannot get saved holding on to sin. That would be like you're in the ocean, and somebody wants to pick you up and pull you from the ocean. You're drowning in the ocean, and you're holding on to a boat anchor. Well, you're not going to be rescued holding on to a boat anchor. You have to let that go. Sin is not your friend. Sin is what is going to destroy you. It would be like a lady says to her doctor, doctor, I'd love to be healed, but I just don't want to give up my cancer. Well, the cancer is what is killing you. And so we have an opportunity to witness and to share the truth, to speak the truth in love, not in a condemnation, but we tell people, hey, judgment is coming for any and all who reject Christ and who embrace sin. And so you have to, like the prodigal son, come to your senses and say, hey, I'm going to get up and go to my father and say, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in your sight. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of your hired men. And he got up and left the pigsty and came to his father. That is repentance. Luke 15, the story of the prodigal son. He repented and he was saved. And that's the only way a person can be saved. Now, you heard at the top of the hour on the AFN News about Sarah Huckabee Sanders and her proclamation that she is calling this Fidelity Month. And I appreciate the fact that governors are taking over and saying, hey, we're not going to be overrun by this. We're going to use this idea of June being Pride Month as being a month to celebrate what is right. Well, I saw also let me find it here. It's a proclamation from the governor of the state of Indiana, Mike Braun. He said, today I proclaim June as Nuclear Family Month in Indiana. As a father of four and grandfather of seven, I have seen firsthand the impact that loving, committed families can have across multiple generations. As we approach America's 250th anniversary, this proclamation recognizes the important role families play in shaping the future of our state and our country. Indiana will continue supporting policies that strengthen families and help the next generation thrive. That is so cool. More governors need to jump on board, as Sarah Sanders has, as Governor Mike Braun has, and we keep presenting to the people, this is what is true, this is right, this is wholesome, this is moral, this is what God blesses, this is a living life under the confines of God's blessing. And when you live outside of that, you know, I don't know anybody that doesn't want to be blessed by God, but you have to get yourself on blessing ground. If you're not on blessing ground, well, you're not going to be blessed. I remember when I was a kid one time in Houston, it was raining in the front yard, but it wasn't raining in my backyard. It was the weirdest thing. That was at the break line for the rain. So it was raining in the front yard, you go to the backyard, it wasn't raining. And so, I've thought about that. If you want to experience the blessings coming down from heaven on your life, you have to get yourself on blessing ground. Because if you're not on blessing ground, guess what? The blessings don't flow. You're living a life that's contrary to what God says to do. The blessings don't flow there. I met with a couple just a couple of weeks ago, or about 10 days ago, and we were talking about their wedding. They asked me to do their wedding, and I said, okay, here's the thing. If I'm going to do your wedding, we have to commit to sexual purity. Between now and the day you get married, you have to commit to being sexually pure because you want God to bless your wedding. You wouldn't be asking me to do this unless you were interested in having God as a part of your wedding. You could just get a justice of the peace, just anybody that could pronounce you husband and wife, but you want a pastor because you want to include God. I said, that is good. That is important. But if you want God to bless it, you got to do it God's way. And so, you know, when we talk about this being Nuclear Family Month, well, we speak the truth in love to people caught up in homosexuality, people caught up in the devastating lie of transgenderism, but people also caught up in just living, sexually promiscuous lives. Those who are not married and they're having sex, they're pretending they're married. I told this couple, I said, listen, here's the devastating message that that a prospective husband says to his prospective wife, I am willing, if they're having sex before they're married, I am willing to have sex with someone I'm not married to because I'm doing that now. And she's saying the same thing to him. And so it undermines the trust that you desperately need to have in that relationship. So we applaud Governor Mike Braun. We applaud Sarah Sanders. And we as Christians need to stand up for the truth. We need to speak up for the truth. We need to speak the truth in love. And hey, we need to model the truth ourselves. I talked to guys at our Man Up last Thursday. We talked about the sin of lust. When lust is conceived, James says it gives birth to sin. And when sin is accomplished, it brings forth death. And so we all as men, I would say 90%+ of men, maybe even more, we struggle with a sexual temptation. We have that in our minds, and that is powerful. That pulls us. And so we want to make sure that we keep ourselves from that. And one of the biggest ways that you can help yourself is by reminding yourself constantly, this brings death. This is not a minor thing. Entertaining sexual immorality in my mind, it's not a minor thing. It's a major thing, and I can't go there. And so the best way to have victory over those areas that are so problematic for so many people is to stop it early. when you feel that temptation to just kind of dabble in that, to let your mind go in that, to look at things online that you shouldn't look at, stop it early, and it will help you. Because if you let it go, it becomes a major, major problem that is very hard to fight. You know, it's easier to defeat Goliath when he's a little kid than when he's a full-grown man. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here, the pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas, and the founder of From His Heart Ministries. From His Heart is heard every weekday at 6 p.m. Central Time right here on American Family Radio. When we come back, we'll welcome Dr. Tom Askell to the program as we talk about the Southern Baptist Convention.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at afr.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here. Well, the Southern Baptist Convention is meeting next week in Orlando, Florida. And it's always an interesting time when the Southern Baptist messengers get together. And one of the big issues, two big issues, I think, in this convention, number one is Clint Pressley, who's been the president for the last 2 years. He's passing the gavel on to the next president. Willie Rice is running for president. He would be considered the more conservative candidate. Although the other guy that's running is not he would say, I believe the scripture, he's solid guy, but he would be more the company man, I think, of the two candidates. And so, and the other big thing is Al Mohler plans to bring forth the Truth and Unity amendment that the messengers will vote on. And he wants, states that the messengers to the Southern Baptist Convention meeting in June 2026 amend the constitution of the SBC to add an enumerated sixth item under Article 3, Paragraph 1, defining composition. This new language would make clear that a cooperating Southern Baptist church, quote, does not act to affirm, appoint, or endorse a woman serving in the office or function of a pastor, elder, overseer, such as preaching to the assembled congregation. Well, that has caught a lot of fire from those on the other side that don't like it. And here to discuss that with me is my good friend, Dr. Tom Askell, the pastor of Grace Baptist Church in Cape Coral, Florida, and also the president of Founders Ministry. Tom, welcome again to the program.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me on, brother. Glad to talk to you.
Okay, so we talked a little bit before we went on the air, and I said, Tom, are you encouraged about this upcoming convention? And you said, I was more encouraged a week ago than I am now. Why is that?
All the Mohler Amendment that you just read, anybody who wants to push back on that is exposing themselves as those who really don't want the SBC to take a firm stand on what the Bible says about the role of pastors, the function and office of pastoral ministry in a local church being limited to elder qualified men. And that's been our stand forever. And the people are nervous about that. I think it's a commentary on how much the convention has been feminized, even by people that would call themselves conservative inerrantists. It's tragic to me to see how much pushback there's been on this very simple amendment that we shouldn't even need. If people had integrity, we wouldn't need it, because our documents already say enough. But it's because there's been a lack of integrity and courage that this kind of amendment is even being called forth.
Okay, Tom, so you have people, Jeff Orge, that said, hey, we don't need this. He said that last year. We don't need the law amendment. Mike Law brought an amendment. This is, Al's is similar in what it's referencing, maybe a little more pointed than Mike's, but he said we don't need it because the 2000 Baptist Faith and Message makes it clear that the office of pastor is for men. So why would we have to add anything else? And your response to that
is because those on the credential committee and those who pull the levers of power have at many points lacked both integrity and courage. And I don't mean to disparage anyone, but I can demonstrate that pretty easily. Credentials Committee struggled to even entertain the possibility of removing a church that affirmed LGBTQ people years ago. Mike Stone was on that committee at that time. He was voted down. So there's just no doubt that we have lacked the courage necessary to do what our documents call us to do. And really, the issue goes so much deeper than just amending the Constitution, but an amendment would be a good step. I mean, what we need is to face the fact that we have forsaken the ways of the Lord in so many areas. And we need to repent and come back to a simple, humble commitment to what God's Word actually says.
Well, okay, so Tom, for those who are advocating against this, we don't need this, this is ridiculous. You know, Wade Burleson wrote a big piece and he said, I'm going to be found to be right again. Seemed a little self-serving there. You know, I'm on the right side of scripture, of history, blah, blah, blah. They just see this as a, like Rick Warren, this is a secondary issue. Let's get back to the primary issue. Why is this not a secondary issue?
Because the Bible doesn't mutter here. The Bible's not unclear here. Up until yesterday, it seems like, or 10 minutes ago, everyone in Protestant evangelicalism and Baptist history, Southern Baptist history, affirmed that elders, pastors, overseers, presbyters, whatever you call them, those three words are used the same way in the New Testament. It was limited to men who are qualified by the scriptures to serve in that capacity. Everybody agreed with that. Even those that would have Bertha Smith come and speak periodically at their churches, there was no doubt about that. Well, now there's a lot of doubt about that. And you've got churches like there in Texas, Fielder Road in Arlington, who have women pastors very boldly proclaiming, well, always have women pastors, and then change their names to shepherdesses to try to get around this. And this recent announced they've changed it to ministers. They're not changing. They're just trying to play word games.
Yes. Yeah. That's, you know, what was it? It was brought up. I saw a post, William Wolfe, and he said, well, he posted about the fact that the pastor, Jason, how do you pronounce his last name? Paredes? Something like that. He said, we unwaveringly, unequivocally, gratefully have female pastors in this church. And so William Wolfe brought up online, has Jason publicly recanted of this statement, or is this just another semantic change? What do you say?
I say that it's a semantic change. It's word games. It's an effort to obfuscate. And if we would just have people to come out and say honestly what they believe and what they want, then we could settle this thing pretty quickly, but that's not happening.
Okay, so Tom, when we were voting on the Mike Law Amendment, we had to vote 2 years on it. Is the Al Mohler Amendment the same thing?
Yes, it is the same thing. So it'll have to pass this year, which up until a few days ago, I was hopeful that it would pass. It takes 66%, which is a high margin to meet. I'm more concerned about next year in Indianapolis. But now, with all the opposition and all of the subtle undermining that is taking place of it, I'm not sure we'll hit the 66% this year. Though I hope so, and I'm going to certainly argue and try to do my part to help it.
Yes. Well, for those that are arguing against it, that we don't need it, they say they believe in it, but yet they argue against it. So I guess my question would be, from your perspective, do they not really believe in it? Or is, as Jeff Org said last year, the president of the SBC or the executive committee, that this would open us up to lawsuits? How in the world does that open us up to lawsuits?
That statement, you could say, oh, well, it's absolutely true. But look what happened whenever we took a strong stand against homosexuality and the LGBTQ stuff decades ago. We've not had one lawsuit, and we've not had one difficulty with adding that same provision, same kind of provision, to this same article in our Constitution that's being proposed for this. So it's a scare tactic. These guys are fear mongers. I don't know Jeff personally, and I think he's a good guy. But brother, we have been discipled by the world, and that's what we're seeing now, even in our leaders. We're seeing the effects of good discipleship by worldliness, so that people are afraid to to say what God says in His Word. We're embarrassed by it, and we want to be seen as those who are affirming God's Word without having to pay the cost that the world will call us to pay if we take our stand boldly and without equivocation.
Well, that's just pitiful. So let me ask you this, Tom, because you've been a warrior for the truth for a long time in the SBC. If this doesn't go through and Willie Rice doesn't get elected, do you think guys are going to start bailing out by even more than what we've seen in the past?
Absolutely. You took the last 6-7 years and you looked at all the good churches that have left. I think we will match that pretty quickly if those two things don't happen, because it's just a demonstration of failed leadership. I mean, here's the real truth, Jeff. We wouldn't be in this mess if we had had leaders take a stand the last 2 or 3 years publicly coming out and saying, pass this law amendment. But because of the 11th commandment in the SBC, when Jeff Yord said, but we can't do this, and Kevin Ezell worked behind the scenes to scuttle it, the other leaders in the SBC remained silent. Privately, they were for it, but silently when it came to the public forum. And we need leaders who are willing to say publicly what they say privately. And if that's not going to happen, then, yeah, I think you'll see a lot of conservative churches leave.
Tom, from a SBC standpoint, you know, when we think about the SBC today, seminary presidents, they have a lot of clout. Obviously, the president of the executive committee has a lot of clout. He was a seminary president. Those guys might have pastored churches in their background, but that's not what they're known for. If you think about the SBC from generations ago, were pastors a lot more prominent in the SBC as they are now?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Because when you look at the conservative resurgence, every one of the seminary presidents was opposed to it. You know, all of the executive leaders in our denomination were opposed to it. It was the pastor, like Adrian Rogers and W.A. Chrisman, and the guys at First Jacks, and they were men in the trenches, pastoring churches, that led the charge, and they led it to overcome the resistance from the SBC leadership. Well, now, supposedly, we have leaders that are convictional conservative in those positions, and yet they've not wielded their power and influence from those positions for the conservative cause the ways that the liberals did against the conservative cause during the conservative resurgence. And we're bearing the consequences of it now.
Why do you think that is, Tom, that when the guys get to these positions that a lot of people look at like, wow, I'd like to be in that position, they kind of almost look at the pastorate as a stepping stone to these bigger positions. Why is it that when guys go in there, is it a swamp? I mean, it's kind of like when we say we send somebody to Washington and they go off the rails. What is it about those positions that cause people to do that?
Well, one thing might be said, it might be that the very people that have that attitude and try to climb the life ladder to get there are the ones who get in those positions. That could be. Mm-hmm. But I remember what George said in the middle of the conservative resurgence when he very prophetically announced, the exchange of one set of bureaucrats for another doth not a reformation make. And you get into a bureaucratic system, there is a great tendency to turn you into a bureaucrat. And if you don't fight that intentionally, then that's what you become. And you are for the party, you're for the system, you're for the quote cause. And so you let a lot of things convictionally go in order for what you think to be a greater consideration. And I don't want to be a part of a cause that we can pursue at the sacrifice of boldly, courageously defending the Word of God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you don't see that as much in the pastorate as you do in some of those other positions.
Because you have a week-by-week responsibility to shepherd God's people. You see what the Word of God does. You have confidence in the Word of God. You see what happens when the Word of God is neglected or people intentionally walk away from it. And you have accountability right there among the people. And quite honestly, as I've said for years, our trustee system is broken. Our trustees are not doing what they should do as holding those institutions in trust for the churches. And they need to be trained. I think there's some efforts to try to bring that to pass now. But we've suffered decades with a trustee system that is not functioning the way trustees should function hold those institutions and their leadership accountable.
Tom, let me turn your attention to the presidency. And so Willie Rice, and I've gone blank on the guy that's running against him.
Josh Powell.
Josh Powell. He's pastor where?
In North.
Okay. Do you know him, Tom?
I just know him a little bit, and everything I know about him is good. I mean, he's written some things for us for Founders Ministries. I don't have any reason to say anything negative about him.
Yeah. So with that issue, who becomes president? How critical do you think that is?
Matt, Josh will be an upgrade from what we've had prior to Clint Presley. Clint's been an upgrade from what we had the last two or three or four presidents. But Willie has seen the belly of the beast. He's lived mm-hmm. there. Friends with all these guys. He knows where the bodies are buried, and he has changed. He has publicly repented for the things that he participated in. He sees things now he didn't see before, and he's a statesman, and we need a guy like that who knows what the ins and outs are. I'm not sure that Josh does. Maybe he does, but I would love to see, as I've thought about this recently, I'd love to see Josh Powell stand up and say, you know what, I'm going to withdraw my name. Let's rally behind Willie. He's the leader we need right now, because Willie is a man of conviction. He's shown that. He's the only high-profile Southern Baptist leader I know of who's come out and said, you know what, I was wrong. I was wrong about CRT. I was wrong about the feminist issue. I was wrong about the sex abuse scandal that was supposed to be massive. He said, I was wrong. And he sees it now, and he's the man we need right now.
Amen to that. Well, Tom, thank you so much. I know you're very, very busy. Thank you for being my guest today and for sharing your insights. I look forward to seeing you next week in Orlando.
I look forward to it as well, Jeff. Thanks. Always a joy to talk with you.
God bless you, brother. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here, and that was Tom Askell. We're talking about the Southern Baptist Convention. The Southern Baptist Convention matters because it makes an impact on our nation and our world with training missionaries for Christ. When we come back from the break, we'll be taking your calls, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. If you have a question, if you have a comment, love to hear from you. So give me a call and let's talk.
Candace talks about finding out she was pregnant. Thankfully, an ultrasound provided by Preborn allowed her to hear her baby's heartbeat.
The sonogram sealed the deal for me. My baby was like this tiny little spectrum of hope. And I saw his heart beating on the screen. And knowing that there's life growing inside, I mean, that sonogram changed my life. I went from just Candace to mom. Thank you to everybody that has given these gifts. You guys are giving more than money. You guys are giving love.
Preborn currently has clinics that do not have ultrasound machines. Would you consider a leadership gift and sponsor a machine today? These life-saving machines cost $15,000, more than most centers can afford. Your donation will save countless lives for years to come. Dial #250 and say the keyword baby, or go to preborn.com/AFR.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email PastorJeff@FromHisHeart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here. We've been talking about June being Pride Month, and it needs to flip the script, and we celebrate what God has created, and that is marriage and family and doing life God's way. And I applaud Sarah Huckabee Sanders, the governor of Arkansas, and then Governor Mike Braun of Indiana, and they're reclaiming June for the family. And We need to get behind those movements, and we need to stand up and speak up and not be ashamed. You know, Jesus said, if you're ashamed of me and my word, of him, the Son of Man will be ashamed when he comes in his glory with the holy angels. And so we don't need to be ashamed of the Lord. We don't need to be ashamed of his word. We don't need to be ashamed of biblical morality. We need to stand up and speak up. And if people laugh at us, well, let them laugh at us. Our job is not to be popular. It's to be faithful. And one of the reasons I have Tom Askell on the program a lot is Tom stands up and speaks up. He wants to be faithful. He and I disagree on Calvinism, but we're brothers in the Lord, and we stand up for the Word of God, and we want the Southern Baptist Convention to be strong. And so as we were talking about the issue of women pastors, what Al Mohler is proposing is important, because if you cave on that issue, it's Katie bar the door. Now, I played this clip. We're going to get to the calls in just a minute, and I'd love to have you call 888-589-8840. But I played this clip from Rosaria Butterfield. Rosaria was a lesbian who came to Christ. She was a militant, outspoken lesbian. She came to Christ, and such a solid believer. She's been on the program before. And this is what she had to say about the issue of women in the pastorate.
Church has really coddled egalitarianism and kind of coddled this idea that, oh, we want you to use your, oh, you can't use your gifts. Like, like that's the biggest sacrifice you think the Lord Jesus Christ is going to ask of you? You're kidding me, right? The ordaining women is the gateway to gay theology. There is no denomination that ordains women that will not eventually ordain homosexuals.
That's right.
And again, I'm not a prophet. I'm not a son of a prophet. I don't need to be. You just have to read your church history. And the reason that it's the gateway is it's the same hermeneutic, different Bible passages, but the same hermeneutic that is used to ordain women is used to ordain homosexuals.
And that's why Tom Askell said, you know, when I asked him, why is this such a big issue, as Rick Warren said in the meeting a couple of years ago, you know, let's stop bickering about secondary issues. He said the reason this isn't a secondary issue is because it's very crystal clear in Scripture. This is the way God has set it up. And if you take what God has clearly said and set up and you say, well, I don't want to do it that way, we're going to do it our own way, it's a secondary issue, then it immediately becomes a first-tier issue, because you're discounting the Word of God and you're throwing it out and saying, we don't like it, so we're going to set it up our way. It's not too far away from this the line of thinking that Cain had when the Lord said, this is how you come before me, and Cain came his own way and sacrificed the fruit of the ground. When the Lord said, no, you bring before me a blood sacrifice. Abel came God's way, Cain came his own way, and the Lord had no regard for Cain and his offering. He had regard for Abel and his offering, because when you come before the Lord, you come his way. You don't burn strange fire as Nadab and Abihu found out, Leviticus chapter 10, because fire came out from the presence of the Lord and consumed them. And that was soon after they were consecrated for the priesthood. And so you don't mess around with God's things and the way God set things up. It needs to be the way God says. Well, we're going to the phone lines, 888-589-8840. We have Wayne on the line from Tennessee. Wayne, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Can you hear me, Pastor Jeff?
Yes, sir.
All right. So my comment was, until the SBC decides to vote digitally and hold everybody accountable for what the way they vote, it just seems like it's going to probably fail.
Mm-hmm. Well, it has to, you know, it's a two-year deal when you change the Constitution, and it has to have that two-thirds majority. So the Mike Law Amendment came close last year. It fell a few percentage points from what it needed to be. I see what you're saying, Wayne, and people need to stand up and be counted. And those who are talking out of both sides of their mouth, saying, well, I believe that the office of pastor is reserved for men, as the scripture says, but I don't want to put my money where my mouth is, so to speak. I want to have that wiggle room. As Tom Askell said, you know, the problem with that is the credentials committee is, they're not doing their job. And if we say, well, it's in the Baptist Faith and Message that the office of pastor is reserved for qualified men, well, we don't need to, you know, duplicate that or make that any stronger, but we do, because people aren't enforcing what's already there on the books. So I appreciate that, Wayne. And anything else to add?
No, is it possible that SBC is worried it's going to lose a lot more churches if they hold people's feet to the fire in the way that they vote?
I'm not sure about that. You know, it just seems like the SBC, the people in charge, they're as was stated last year, you know, Jeff Orr, if we pass this, we could open ourselves up to lawsuits. And, you know, it's like, well, you don't make decisions on the Word of God based on, is this going to cause trouble? Is this going to get us in a lawsuit? You make decisions based on what does God want us to do, what is right, and then you do it, and you let the chips fall where they may. And so I think that's the biggest issue. And the SBC is going to, it's going to crater from attrition unless it says, hey, we want to be you know, the convention of churches that God wants us to be, and we want to be on fire for the Lord, we want to lift up His Word, and we don't want to let it get watered down in any way. So the infallibility of the Scripture and the sufficiency of Scripture, so inerrancy and sufficiency, both of those are critical. So I appreciate it, Wayne, and thanks for listening to the program. Thanks for calling in today. We have Carol on the line from Louisiana. Carol, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hi. It seems that the mainline churches are hemorrhaging people unless they go woke. Is this the great falling away? I'll hang up.
Yes, great question, Carol. I think that it is. You know, here's the thing that we can't be sure of, and that is anybody else's salvation. You can be sure of your own salvation, and the Lord wants us to be sure, but just because somebody talks a good game doesn't mean they're genuine. And so the devil disguises himself as an angel of light, and Paul said, you know, his ministers do the same thing, and they come, they're false prophets, they come with smooth talking, you know, high sounding words, and boy, they look slick and they sound good, and boy, I want that, and yeah, let me jump on the bandwagon. And all the while, you don't realize that guy's a false prophet. He's got, that's why you have to, John says, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets, false teachers, have gone out into the world. And so I do think this is, we're seeing the signs of a falling away from the truth. Just as Paul told Timothy, hey, preach the word, because there's a time coming, Timothy, when men will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they're going to accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires, and will turn away from the truth and will turn aside to myths. And what sounds good, what feels good, those things don't matter. What sounds good, what feels good doesn't matter. Truth is not what you think. Truth is not what you feel. Truth is not what you want it to be. Truth is what God says. And this idea that you can be more loving, more kind, more gracious, more giving, more merciful than God is a sick joke. God is the God who is infinite in mercy and grace and kindness. And so he tells us what is morally in bounds, what is morally out of bounds. He tells us this is how the church is to function and operate. This is how I've set up the home. A husband is the head of the wife. This is how I've set up the church. The man is the head in the church. Women are vitally important, just like my wife is vitally important to the home. I can't do it without her. Women are vitally important to the church, but the Lord has set it up where the man is to be the head of the house. He's to be the head of the church, and he's to take that responsibility. So I appreciate the question. We have Mark on the line from Arkansas. Mark, welcome to Real Truth for Today. Mark, are you there?
I have an amendment that's added that calls for all Baptist preachers to believe in the Bible. Talking about the same thing, subject there, I have talked to a Baptist preacher that didn't believe in the 6 days of creation. Mm-hmm. My wife had a Baptist preacher that tried to talk her into having an abortion 45 years ago. Mm. And we never hardly hear from the pulpit that God created the world in 6 days, 6,000 years ago. Mm-hmm. We're sucked in by all this new garbage that says hundreds of millions of years ago, such and such happened. And right. So we have people leaving the church, going off to college, thinking that this is a foolish thing to believe in 6 days of creation, 6,000 years ago. And it needs to be a serious subject that we tackle.
Yes, I would agree with you. And, you know, those aren't fellowship breakers. Those aren't deal breakers. But here's the thing. I was talking to, I forget who it was, but it might have been Ken Ham. But we were talking about the fact, you know, Ken Ham believes in 6 24-hour days of creation. He believes in a young earth. And anybody who just reads the Bible at face value, if you were born on an island just with mom and dad and you, and it's a desert island, and you have the Bible, you would never come up with evolution from reading the Bible. You would say, well, how did God do it? He spoke it into existence. That's what the Bible says. And you have to go to secular university or a liberal seminary to find out, oh, no, he did it through these days are geological time periods and blah, blah, blah. Well, that's not what it says. And so I believe the Bible says what it means and means what it says, and we need to hold to that. So I would agree with you, Mark. We need pastors that believe the book and preach the book and take the hits for doing that and stand up and speak up. Hey, Jesus said, if the world hates you, know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. But because you're not of the world, I've chosen you out of the world. Therefore, the world hates you. If you go along with the world and go along with the culture as a pastor, the world won't hate you, but you will displease the one whom you say you serve. And we desperately need for the Lord to tell us at the end of life, well done, my good and faithful slave. And if you're living for a well done, you have to hold to the word, you have to speak the word and preach the word and speak it in love. So I appreciate the call. We have Jerry on the line from Texas. Jerry, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hey, brother. Just a quick question, trying to figure out how to, with love, answer a youth pastor's wife when they post, remember, this is Pride Month, love your gay neighbor.
Goodness.
When I really want to just go at her like Paul did Peter, call her out. However,
yeah.
I also want to use Greg Kokel's tactics on asking the question of, what do you mean by Pride Month and gay neighbor? Should I only love my gay neighbor this month, or should I only love my black neighbor in February? I don't understand
right.
why we just can't love our neighbor.
Yeah, Matt, great, great question. I think I would probably talk to him and just say, you know, that sends a really weird message that, you know, that she's you know, approving of this. And hopefully she's not, but it sure sounds like that. And we don't want to send out that message that, you know, hey, we're all for Gay Pride Month. And, you know, this is a time that we can really make an impact on the LGBTQIA+ community. The way you make an impact with those folks is you speak the truth in love. And you don't affirm them. You tell them, hey, I love you, and I want to see you come to the knowledge of the truth, because judgment is coming. Just as Noah preached, a preacher of righteousness, judgment was coming unless people put their faith and trust in Jesus. Well, I appreciate, or faith and trust in God's provision. I appreciate the call. I am sorry for the other one, so we didn't get to you. You can always reach me at PastorJeff@FromHisHeart.org. God bless.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.